Where's that BB?
There it is. I feel like it hit harder this time. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Bacon Smiles Podcast. I'm Steve Patera, founder of Bacon Smiles Ministry, joined as always by
Evan Shaw Mumford.
Awesome. So we got a jam-packed podcast for you today. So we're going to go over, we have a retreat coming up for our youth ministry program at St. Bart's. We also... kind of in the news, we got a new president, so we're just going to kind of go
in
with...
In case you haven't heard.
In case you didn't hear that, we have a new president. Let's just pray for him. Let's just go with that. We're not going to focus too heavy on that, other than, hey, we should pray for the president of the United States.
Right. Just gonna... And for our country.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're just going to throw that out there. Also, what we started doing last time, read the gospel reading of the day. Today's gospel, parable of the lamp, Mark chapter 4, 21 through 25. So that's cool. Also, you have a pretty awesome scripture story that you want to go into. Yeah. And also the music section of our show.
Right, some great music coming out.
Awesome. And St. Titus is a saint of the day.
Very nice.
It's actually, he accompanied St. Paul on his travels, so that's really awesome. And then you have a pretty exciting news of the weird.
News of the weird. Got it lined up.
Awesome. Awesome. So that's our breakdown. We actually got through it this time. Normally, I go off on a tangent. We end up somewhere else. We get to one bullet point, and then I'm completely off.
Go off on tangents. Get two guys with ADD in one room, and it just, you never know what happens.
Yeah, absolutely. So, winter retreat. Pretty
excited for this.
I am too. New place. Well, not new. I guess the buildings have been there for a while.
Yeah.
Trinita Retreat Center in New Hartford, Connecticut. So it's a decent ways away from us, but
it's an hour away. But it's a nice drive.
And it's a nice place too. It's multiple buildings and really nice grounds.
It has a rustic vibe to it.
Yeah, it's a really awesome. So we're excited about that, and we're excited about the games and the fun and the fellowship and just being able to spend a weekend with our youth and taking a retreat and just, you know, experiencing that, because we have some awesome prayer experiences planned. We have some awesome games, group activities, get to know you activities. It's gonna be awesome.
Yeah,
you've had fun planning it too.
I've had a lot of fun on this. I've now reached a point where I've been on team helping out with these retreats more than I attended them as a kid. So it's kind of neat now that I'm at that kind of perspective. And my little sister's 15. She's in your class.
Yes,
and this is going to be her first retreat that she's gotten to go on. And she's been hearing about them her whole life. Because when she was just a youngin', that's when I went into freshman year and went on my first retreat. So now she gets to experience it firsthand. And she's so excited.
Let's just hope it lives up to the hype. I feel like that's a lot of buildup.
I'm sure it will. I'm sure it will. We've got a good group of kids, and it's one of those things where I feel like as soon as the retreat wraps up and you get home, you just get a moment to breathe and everything, you just go, I'm looking forward to the next one already.
Yeah.
You know, and as it gets closer, you get that excitement going of it's almost retreat season. You know, what's after Christmas? What's after New Year's? Winter retreat planning.
Yeah, and see, I normally go into like, okay, stress mode. Okay, we gotta remember this, gotta remember that. Okay, and then once it starts, I'm just in my groove. And it's just, you know, well, I shouldn't even say my groove. It's like God just...
He takes over.
He just takes over the whole weekend, and it always just goes
so... We try not to get in the way.
Yeah, definitely. That's a huge part of it. I just always pray that God takes me out of it and lets me be the instrument that he wants me to be. It's always an amazing time, and it's just going to be awesome. Super excited about it. Can't wait to tell you guys how it went, probably a couple weeks from now. You'll notice that we're trying to do this a little more often, like every 2 weeks.
Yeah, every 2 weeks. I think it's been working out pretty well.
Yeah, it's been awesome.
Now, you went on these retreats too when you were in high school.
Yeah.
Was there a particular game that you played that still sticks out in your memory that just was very, very crazy, very funny?
Well,
or a funny story?
Yeah. So when I was I think a senior in high school, I was on a youth team for planning a retreat, and the retreat theme that year was game shows. I'm not sure if you remember.
I vaguely remember that.
So this whole thing was different game shows and the popular game shows of the time and TV shows. You remember that show, Whose Line Is It Anyway,
with Drew Carey?
It was awesome. So one of the games was the house party game that they would do, where people would have a character they had to play, and then the host of the party would have to guess who they are.
Okay.
And I just remember James Blackwell was the Pope in the Popemobile. So that's what he had. That was who he had to play at this house party. So he would like be like scooting around waving, but then doing like the mime of being in the box, you know. So it was just it's just ridiculous. And then someone else was a TV evangelist. So he was going around smacking people on the forehead, telling them that they've been healed. So like it was just. So
that's good.
Yeah, so that was it was a really fun game.
See, this is a great moment to be checking us out on Facebook Live because we're just losing it.
Well, it's just so silly. It's so funny, and that's the type of stuff that you remember. It's just like the silliness and stuff. And, and then you just remember like the prayer experiences and the affirmation activities where everyone gets to tell someone else. They get that chance to really affirm and uplift people.
Yeah.
And I feel like in...
They don't get that opportunity often, if at all, when they're not on retreat.
No. And it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, I say it all the time. How often do you tell someone other than your significant other or a family member that you love them? Mm. Like, how often do you say to just a really good friend, I love you, man, or... I love you because you genuinely care for them and you love them as your friend. But I feel like people don't say that to each other a lot, or they'll feel awkward or won't know how to respond.
I think that's it. You know, it's just afraid of the awkwardness of saying I love you, especially between two guys.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and here's the thing. Like it's one of those things where on retreat, it's just you're so comfortable. You're comfortable just saying to another person, yeah, I love you, care about you, I want to see you do well.
Yeah.
I want to help you through your struggles. I want to be there for you. Because that's what retreats are all about, is building those close, those bonds with other, you know, Catholic youth in this case. But when you go on adult retreats, it's the same thing. You're just building those bonds. You're finding people of like mind and just
slowing down a little bit, getting away from society and just enjoying the space you're around, enjoying the people you're around, and just kind of get your head normalized a little bit.
Absolutely. And it's just so awesome. I feel like I'm struggling for words to explain how awesome these experiences
can be. It's awesome enough that you're still doing it and you're helping out other teens at other parishes, you know?
Yeah.
It's something that
running
you're
retreat.
So fired up about.
Yeah.
You're like, you know, I'm doing this professionally.
Absolutely. And that's where it's just like when I get in front of groups of other parishes, churches that I'm not as involved in as St. Bart's. I mean, I'm at St. Bart's every weekend. I'm at meetings during the week. That's my home parish, and that's where I do most of my work. But when I'm brought into other parishes, I bring that same fire. Like, I want to get in front of your churches to show you, like, this is the calling that I have to do these youth events. And I want to get in front of you because I just need to. God is calling me to be there and help in any way I can to strengthen the faith of young people. And just fire them up, wake people up, get them fired up. And I love it. And I feel that true calling, and it gives me fulfillment. And I know it's God's work. And it's just awesome. And when I'm done with a retreat and I might be exhausted, but that's where I feel so filled up with the Holy Spirit.
You just
feel it. So I can't explain it enough that I love what I do.
Yeah.
And it just fills me up and is awesome. It genuinely is.
And that's something I realized last year, too, when I was just looking at my schedule and trying to prioritize things and realizing, you know, I always put the word busy and good together when I was talking about my life to other people. And I caught myself after doing that for a long time of just finally taking a step back and go, why do I always equate busy with good?
Yeah.
You know, because I found out that I was saying that, and I was thinking, but is it good to be as busy as I am?
Oh, yeah.
And am I happy with as busy as I am? And it turns out I had taken on a lot of things that I was using to fill up my schedule to make it feel like I was accomplishing a lot. But at the same time, I was burning the candle at both sides.
Well, that, and can you dedicate yourself to that many things?
Right. So then I had to start focusing on different things and going, okay, well, these are the things that I love doing.
Yeah.
These are the things that are important to me. What can I do with the rest of my schedule to rearrange that so that I can support myself while still doing the things that I enjoy? And now that I've been going through that process, I've found that I've been a lot happier, and now I'm okay with saying, yeah, things are great. I'm busy, but things are great because I'm doing stuff that I love and I enjoy. And at the end of the day, if I'm worn out, like you said, at least I feel like I'm doing something worthwhile.
Well, yeah, well, see, your body is tired, but your spirit is rejuvenated.
Yes.
Like the Holy Spirit is just overflowing in you. If you have not experienced that, I will not be able to explain it to you. You are physically drained, but spiritually full.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're doing what God intended you to do, you will feel that. There will be days where you wake up just feeling like you have no physical strength left. But you know in your heart that the Holy Spirit has filled you. Mm-hmm. And you just wake up with a smile on your face.
Right.
Yeah, it's just awesome. Yeah, so it's just... Can't explain it. Can't explain it enough how important it is to find your calling and what God is calling you to do. With me, it's youth ministry. With Evan, it's ministry on the radio and youth ministry.
Yeah.
And it's just awesome. You can feel it. You can feel it when you're doing His work. Just awesome. Another thing we're called to do is pray for our president and our leader.
Right.
And like I said at the beginning of this, I pretty much just want to leave it at that. But there was a pretty awesome adoration last week where we got to spend time with Christ, which is super important. Try to fit that in. Adoration is just amazing. And Deacon Bill talked about how being a deacon, they are all called to pray for the leadership of our country and just other leaders around the world. Mm-hmm. And he put it pretty clearly, you know, hey, I've prayed for every president since I've been a deacon, and even before that. Some are easier to pray for than others.
And I loved it when he said that, because it was like, oh, he just hit it on the nail on the head. And it's true. It's sometimes it's a lot easier to pray for some presidents than others. But it's something that's very, very important.
Well, the tough ones, I think they need our prayers more.
Right.
That's exactly what that means. If you find yourself struggling to pray for them, that probably means we need to pray more for them.
Amen.
Yeah. So you have a pretty cool scripture story.
Yeah. So it kind of fits into that whole idea of prayer and sometimes struggling. And earlier this week, I was hanging out at Jen's house. I forget what we were. I think we were about to watch Gotham. That's one of her TV shows.
Oh, it's a pretty good TV show.
Yeah, and up until then, we were doing some work. I had my laptop out. She was typing away on her computer. I just kind of pulled out my phone and I started scrolling through Instagram. And Mike Donahue is the lead singer of 10th Avenue North. I follow him.
Okay.
He posted a video, and for whatever reason, I just in that moment I saw the video and just thought I need to watch this, and I watched it. And in his style, what he does, which I find kind of funny, but I appreciate it too,
mm-hmm.
he'll mention a Bible verse that he's reflecting on and then give you enough that doesn't tell you the verse, but enough to make you go, huh, that's interesting. I'm going to read that verse too.
Okay.
And just instead of giving you the whole thing, he encourages you to get into the Word and read it
awesome.
Along with him.
Yeah.
And so he was talking about how he's on tour right now with his band on Winter Jam that goes all around the country.
Okay.
And he said, before this tour, I talked to God and I said, as I'm on this tour, I want to do all things without complaining.
Wow.
And he said, initially my thought was, wow, this is going to be great because everything's going to be so easy. But that's not how God operates. And God says, okay, you don't want to complain? All right, well, I'll put you in situations where you normally complain, and then we're going to work on that. So, and it was so funny that he brought that up, because for the last few months, I've realized I've been kind of in this weird, just kind of quieter, moodier funk that I haven't been able to shake.
Okay.
And so when he mentioned that, I went, you know what, I got to look up this verse. And it's talking about imitating Christ's humility. And real briefly, it says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any comfort sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. And when I read that, that shook me enough. The whole weekend, this past weekend, there's been weird things just kind of being flung at me, and just kind of life taking shots. And when I read that, it was like, you know, just kind of shook me.
And
the next day I was completely different. I was back to the way that I had been.
That's awesome.
And just kind of living lighter and brighter, you know, and just trying to maintain that. So Philippians 2, if you have a chance, it's absolutely worth reading, especially if you're going kind of through what I was, and just see if that brightens you up.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, so that kind of goes into what we talked about last week. One of the young adult groups that I go to, Crossroads for Christ in Columbia, Connecticut, they talked about holiness and how we're all capable of holiness. And do you actually believe that you're capable of holiness and stuff like that? And one of the characteristics of holiness that stuck out to me, like the first one that came to my head, was humility and always putting others first.
Mm-hmm.
But then you start to think about, like, who's the holiest person that you think of, like, of our generation? I'd probably say Mother Teresa. Super holy. Unbelievably holy. But if you asked Mother Teresa, do you consider yourself holy? I don't think her answer would be yes.
No, she didn't feel that way at all.
You know, and so that's why, you know, this exercise at this young adult thing was like, do you truly believe that you're capable of holiness? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, and then you kind of go into that simple answer of, well, with God, all things are possible. And I truly believe that. So God can make me holy and use me for holiness. But if I am a holy person, would I tell other people that I'm a holy person?
Yeah.
That's like a struggle, and that's where that humility comes in. It's just like, and then they ask,
you tell,
like,
people through your actions.
Well, absolutely, and so that's you know what's funny is it. They asked who's the person you think of as holy, like in your everyday life, and a lot of people answered like their grandparents and stuff like that. I answered Linda.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. She's so selfless.
She just sat back in her chair as she heard that.
I know. And the reason is, so 2 days ago, I needed a ride to go get my work van in East Hartford. And I thought a coworker was going to be able to do it for me. But then he doesn't start his day till noon. I start my day at 8. And so I was like, oh, man. So I text Linda, like, any chance you're up and willing to give me a ride to East Hartford? And, like, she's like, absolutely. No problem. And so, yeah, without hesitation, drove me to get my work van and brought me. Like, that's just the humility, because she'll never think it's a big deal,
right.
Like, at all. Yeah. And without hesitation to come and do that. Like, just amazing. Just the holiness of Linda. So, yes, Linda, we do think that you are holy. And we know that you're listening, probably cooking dinner or something else that's, like, selfless.
Right.
So, a little shout out in there.
Absolutely.
So, here's a good challenge. In what ways can you emulate Christ's humility? What are some little things in your life that you can do to really not think of your own interests, but think of the interests of others. If you think of anything, put it on our Facebook.
Yeah.
You can shoot me a line on Instagram, Twitter, or, you know, Bacon
Send
Smiles.
Us an email.
Yeah, email. Steve@baconsmiles.org. So, yeah, just that's a little challenge right off the top of my head. Throw that out there.
Yeah, very good. I like it.
All right, so music?
Sure. Some new music came out this past weekend. I actually grabbed myself one of the albums. One of them is KJ52's first independent rap album called Jonah. And
okay.
It's more biographical style album. And just a couple tracks. It was crowdfunded, so a lot of his fans donated money to get the project up and running.
That's really cool. I always like when that happens.
Yeah, it makes it a special project, special for the fans and special for the artists to know that they were backed by their fans, and they've got this really cool community of just helping each other. Here, I'm going to put out music that inspires you and encourages you and talks about my life, and it's cool to know that you're helping me out with that. So that just came out on Friday. It's a very good album. Been washing dishes and just kind of bopping along to this hip hop in the kitchen. Also coming out this past Friday was Fellowship Creative. It's a church with a big, big church with a big, big band. And a lot of them are youth, which is pretty cool. But Fellowship Creative just came out with an EP called Sound of Heaven. And that's, I think, mostly in digital music stores right now.
Okay.
This upcoming Friday, 2 days, well, tomorrow, depending on when you listen to this podcast, but this band called The Brilliance, which is a really, really neat band, they come out with their project All Is Not Lost. Brian and Jen Johnson, who's from Bethel Music, comes out with After All These Years. Wow Gospel.
Did you put Jen Johnson in there? So it's on purpose.
It always grabs my attention when I see that online, to be honest. But yeah, I always find that kind of funny. But no, they've gone and done some solo projects together.
So that's not your fiance putting out an album?
No. At least I don't think so. Wow Gospel 2017 is compiling all the biggest gospel songs of 2016 on one album. That comes out on Friday. And Zach Williams, who has that song Chainbreaker, getting a lot of plays on Christian radio.
Yeah.
His album called Chainbreaker comes out this Friday as well.
Oh, so the rest of the album comes out?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So
awesome.
We'll start hearing more music from him soon.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah,
something new.
Yeah. That does happen when you hear the same song over and over again. You're like, oh,
great.
Please let the rest of the album be awesome.
Great,
so that...
great song. But it's like, please give us a little more. Give us a little more taste of Zach Williams.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Mix it up a little bit.
Yeah.
So yeah, those are all the new albums that are coming out, and some exciting ones coming soon. So just make sure you check out the podcast because more to come.
Yeah, it's awesome, and I love having Evan here. He's such an encyclopedia of Christian music, and it's good to get that out there because even if you listen to K-Love or listen to the Spotify list, you might not catch some of these albums or some of these songs that are getting released. So it's always awesome to hear that.
Thank you.
All right, so our gospel reading of the day is Mark chapter 4, 21 through 25, Parable of the Lamp. Put on my reading voice.
Get some nice music underneath me. Here's the music of Kenny G.
Yep, just keep doing that. Perfect. Actually, don't do that. I won't be able to. All right. He said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be placed under a bushel basket or under a bed, and not to be placed on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden except to be made visible. Nothing is secret except to come to light. Anyone who has ears to hear ought to hear." He told them, "Take care what you hear. The measure which you measure will be given measured out to you, and still more will be given to you. To the one who has, more will be given. From the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away."
Hmm.
Yeah, it's that last line.
Yeah, we were talking about that a little bit before the show, and as this podcast has gone on, I think that really kind of hits home with what we've been talking about earlier.
Yeah, and it also, like, when you take into context the take care what you hear, mm-hmm. the measure with which you measure will be measured out to you, mm-hmm. and still more will be given to you. To the one who has, more will be given. From the one who has not, even more will be taken away. So basically, I think a lot of that is to those, like, in the manner in which you judge, in the manner in which you live, that's how you will be measured. Mm-hmm. And if you're living well, you will be given more. Mm-hmm. And if you're not living well, even the stuff you do have will be taken. Not stuff, right. But if you're... I think that's a pretty awesome message.
And especially talking about the lamp, and it's not made for the lampstand or something like that. We're to use the gifts that we've been given.
Yeah, you're not supposed to hide the light.
Right.
You're not supposed to hide the word. You're not supposed to hide the spirit God has given you.
Right.
And so if you are using that spirit God has given you, more will be given to you.
Right.
If you are hiding your light, whatever light you do have will be taken away.
Right.
Because you're not using it.
And as you said earlier, talking about retreats.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's funny how this is all tying together, because I didn't see this, you know, during the pre-podcast setup. But as you said, you know, when you go home at the end of the day, you're worn out, but your spirit filled.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Your body is exhausted, but inside you're just feeling amazing, and you're on top of the world.
Yeah, God will make your light. Yeah, God will make your light brighter the more you spread it.
Right.
And if you hide it, he's just going to take the light away.
Yeah.
Because you're not using it. So think on that. Read that, Mark chapter 4, 21 through 25. Let me know what you think. And, I would love to kind of have some talk back and forth about the scriptures we read. If there's a scripture that touches you, I'd love to touch on it too. So let me know. Our saint of the day is Saint Titus. Saint Titus is actually referenced in a letter of Saint Paul, and he's also accompanied St. Paul in the Acts of the Apostles. St. Paul references him as joining him on a journey to Jerusalem with Barnabas, which is actually kind of cool. Like, when you think about the saint in today actually spent time with St. Paul, who, like, wrote half the Bible.
Right.
You know, the Bible is the word of Christ, but a lot of it was written by Paul.
Right.
Which is just kind of cool when you, I don't know, I kind of geek out about stuff like that. Saint Titus, an amazing saint. I guess the way I look at it is one of the original saints.
Yeah.
You know, if he spent time with Saint Paul, that's pretty awesome. So yeah, Saint Titus, he has a joint saint day with Saint Timothy, who was also, I should say, a friend of St. Paul. They traveled a lot together, so they were kind of like journeymen and went around spreading the gospel. So that's kind of really awesome. So St. Titus and St. Timothy are today's saint of the day.
Very cool. Are we ready?
Yeah, I think we're ready.
For the news of the weird?
For news of the weird.
News of the weird. Because there's been plenty of weird stuff, you know, going on in the world. Let's throw another wrench in there. So there's a university here in the United States that is working hard to use our output for good input. And what I mean by that is the University of Michigan has designed a special toilet that is intended to turn urine into fertilizer. They call it pee cycling.
Okay.
And
you're using this story just because you wanted to be able to say that.
Jen is just, if she's listening, she is going, why? And just staring at the ceiling, shaking her head. But the school announced on Tuesday that it has installed a toilet. And there's just the urines being used as a fertilizer. I guess.
But for what? What is it fertilizing?
The grass, I'm guessing. Which, it's going to go to the university's botanical gardens.
Okay, so not like a food garden. Right. Like no one's eating out of this garden?
No,
there's not like tomato plants or anything?
I hope not.
Yeah.
I hope not.
Okay.
But, then you'd be in a pickle. They're saying the solid waste is going to a treatment plant.
Okay. Weird. All right. Yeah, that is definitely the news of the weird.
Yeah. I mean, if it went to like a vegetable or fruit.
Oh, yeah. You ever see what those a dog does to the grass?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's just, they talk about spots in the yard. I can't imagine that this fertilizer is going to work very well.
It depends on what people are eating. You know, it's like, do you really want to get into that debate? Well, okay, we're going to be doing this, but you can only eat
foods. See that? Yeah, I don't think this is going to work out well. I feel like this is a research project that did not need to be done.
Those hydrangeas are a different color.
Yeah, well, it's just, no, I think they would die. That's my thing. This is just not going to work out well.
They were blue last week. Now they are black.
Yeah, they're just dead. They dried up and died.
We need to change the topic right now.
There wasn't another news of the weird.
So Donald Trump's press secretary, let's go on this.
Okay, so in case you haven't seen this, apparently Donald Trump's new press secretary has a long-going feud with Dippin' Dots.
For 5 years.
5 years worth of tweeting. He is not a fan of calling Dippin' Dots the ice cream of the future. This man is determined that everyone in the world know that they are not the ice cream of the future.
And in fact, when Dippin' Dots filed for bankruptcy, he was one of the first to jump on that on Twitter, share the article, and say, ice cream of the past.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even think he hated the actual flavor or anything else. I think he just hated calling it the ice cream of the future because it currently exists. So just a silly little thing. There are just a ton of tweets that he has against
for 5 years
against Dippin' Dots. I mean, this man.
I mean, the most anger I've gotten from Dippin' Dots is a brain freeze. Oh. You know that, but then after that, I'm like, oh, more ice cream.
Okay. Yeah, well, it's just
time to move
on. Of all the things to hold a grudge about for 5 years, it's Dippin' Dots.
We need to pray for him too.
Yes. So yes, remember, pray for our president, and apparently pray for his press secretary. Because if anyone brings up Dippin' Dots at a White House press conference, anything could happen.
Yeah. We'll have an angry brain freeze.
Just Dippin' Dots. All right. Well, as always, I do want to see some pictures that make you smile. You can share them right to our Facebook page. You can also share them on your Facebook walls, Instagram, Twitter, and all that. Give the hashtag Bacon Smiles. I like to see some joy out there in the world. We're seeing a lot of stuff being spread in the negative. Let's spread some positive, because I love to see people smiling and laughing. And what brings you joy? What brings you happiness? So you can follow me, stevie.pt, and Instagram, stevie_pt on Twitter, _bacon_smiles on Twitter, and Bacon Smiles Ministry on Facebook. And as always, I really, really appreciate you listening, and follow us on Facebook.
Very good. Thank you very much for joining us. We look forward to talking to you about the winter retreat that we're going on this weekend, and recap it, and all the hilarious and heartfelt moments that'll ensue. So we're looking forward to sharing that with you in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, awesome. So tune in next time. But as always, keep smiling and God bless.